You're at the tailgates of hell. The NFC East podcast for the common man. Here are your hosts, Jason Giaconia and Benjamin David.
So last week we kind of went through and did the scenario where the Giants actually might be able to win the NFC East, and I thought it was total bullshit when we did it, but when they were up 19-3, I was doing the math in my head, and then I was like, well, the Cowboys are probably going to lose to the Saints this week, and it really wasn't that far-fetched, and here we are.
For 30 minutes, they looked like they could win the division, no doubt about it.
So we're here on the Tailgates of Hell NFC East podcast for the common man. Oh, man, that was a tough one.
I mean, I put that game, I can't say solely, because the defense is terrible right now. But I put it pretty much primarily on Pat Shurmur and the complete, I mean, you would not even think that was the same game plan and coaching staff from one half to another.
Right.
I don't know what happened. The wheels came off. Pat Shurmur coached a terrible second half.
Well, I mean, what did Saquon Barkley had, like, I think 5 carries in the second? I mean, he was basically the reason they were up 19-0. And then I guess what would piss
me
off.
He had 100 yards in the first half.
Right. What would piss me off even more if I was a Giants fan was just kind of his – and I mean, what do you really want him to say? But kind of his defending of the game plan afterwards. Like, I don't know. It just makes me feel better when a coach goes, you know what, that was stupid. We screwed up. We'll be better next time.
You know, Shurmur had an issue in Cleveland with the media. And I'm starting to think he may be in over his head a little bit as a head coach in this league. We'll see. But, you know, all I can say is when the Giants hand the ball off to Barkley and throw passes to Beckham, they win games. And when they don't, they don't. And Eli, you know, he had some, you know, he had some bad passes. He had some misses. He's played a lot better the last month with a little bit better offensive line. So the funny thing to me is it's not even on the offense. When they run the right game plan, the offense is scoring points. It's
right.
The defense and just the insane bad coaching of Shurmur. So, at this point, the season is pretty much – it's not officially over, but that was sort of the game they had to win. They got the Bears coming in this week. So we'll see the wheels fall off here over the next 4 weeks or whatever we got left. And then we'll go into next year.
So what do they even do at this point, though? I mean, we're now in week 13. So does Eli just kind of play it out? I know a couple weeks back there was some back and forth on it. Then they started playing all right. And
I think he's definitely playing against the Bears. They announced that. So Loletta has a court date, I think, this week where it sounds like the charges are going to get dismissed or reduced or whatever. And if that happens, I think they'll maybe put him in for the last couple weeks of the year. I mean, I'm honestly not sold at this point that they're going to even move on from Eli next year. They may draft a quarterback, but they may play him. You know, they may let him finish out the year. I don't know. We'll see how this all goes. I mean, I would lean towards, moving on. But I could see after these 4 weeks them saying, you know what, if we gave him time – yada, 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 and so all this goes on. I think Loletta will play at least one game, probably two. I think the Giants secretly are hoping Khalil Mack, like, breaks Eli's leg or something, and so they
solves
can
solve the problem for them.
End this, yeah, as cleanly as possible. But, I mean, I don't – what can you do? They got to look at a guy. Eli may start every game, and I don't know. I think – my personal opinion is you got to let – the rookie game plan a week and play a game at least once just to see how he handles it. But, you know, a lot of things – I mean, if they completely collapse, you know, it changes the game. If they're competitive and they play okay and they keep fighting, then it changes things too. So at this point, it's really just see how it all ends up.
Right, and so we start this talking about them, you know, possibly if they won that game having a shot at the division. But I was looking, and we'll do the stank rankings later, the worst team in the league is 2-9. So the Giants are only one game off of that. So it's not like you have that one team this year who's, you know, four games worse than everybody else. So a lot really can shift.
Yeah, I think the Giants will be picking top five by the end of this thing. I mean, they got a bunch of division games left. The Bears are going to lose. The Titans, they probably can't beat the Titans. We'll see about that. So, you know, this is probably like a five-win team, maybe four wins. God, how pathetic this team is.
So you mentioned court dates earlier. I guess we'll hop over to the Redskins. They claim Reuben Foster today.
That's pathetic.
Oh, it is so pathetic. And then they have to release a statement within minutes of claiming him about how it's part of a grander plan and we're going to do our thorough. I mean, why the hell would you bring this type of distraction to the team here?
I mean, this team is, you know, you want to talk about a team that's going to sort of not have a good finish. They don't look good.
We might be picking in the top five when it's.
I mean, honestly, there's. I know the Eagles beat the Giants, and we'll get back to them in a second. They could finish up worse than the Giants. I truly believe that still in the record books. But this Reuben Foster thing, I mean, I don't know if they're going to, like, bench him until. Like, well, I don't know what's the deal.
Well, that's so the NFL, within minutes of the Redskins claiming him, put him on the commissioner's exempt list. So he's not playing this year. So it's like kind of a long term. I mean, I don't know. It's just the negative.
I mean, it's not what they need right now.
Exactly.
No,
this is not what this is not what we need to be dealing with right now. And in the press release itself, they say how they consulted his teammates from Alabama, you know, who are on the team. I'm like, are you?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's how you do business in the NFL, is listening to these idiots.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I don't know. I guess the commissioner's exempt thing, they're just stashing him. And I assume if he's found guilty or whatever, they'll just cut him.
Right.
At the end of the year. But
so it's like, there's no point
what,
to it.
Really, what was the point of all that?
Right. Oh, the Redskins, like this, to me, I'm trying to go back in time and look at a season that I feel is wasted as much as this one is becoming, because they were 5-2 4 weeks ago. And I mean, we knew when they were 5-2 at that point that they were not great, but they were still playing better than anybody in the NFC East. They were two games up on the Eagles and Cowboys 2 weeks ago. And, you know, then Alex Smith breaks his leg. And, you know, we talked last week about Colt McCoy. And, you know, I said he's a backup for a reason. And he's had like two practices with the starters. But, you know, you look at all the turnovers in that game they had last week against the Cowboys. And I think you could argue if Alex Smith was playing and they didn't turn the ball over, they might have won that game. And, you know, with all the injuries they have on offense, and I mean, it just, you know, you joke about it a little bit earlier, and I still think there's a chance, given their schedule compared to the others, they still got a shot at winning the division, but I could easily see this thing just collapsing on itself at this point, and honestly, that might be the best thing for the franchise long term.
I mean, are they going to... I guess. I mean, is it? You know?
Well, I don't know, because even like... what they've tanked before and still haven't done anything with it.
I mean, do you think, like, is Gruden back if he collapses?
I don't think so, but you kind of point to the injuries on offense and you just shrug your shoulders and it's like, well, but if they, you know, if it gets to the point where they're like, all right, well, Alex Smith isn't coming back and you're starting with a new quarterback, then maybe you completely... blow it up?
You know,
I don't know.
I got to tell you, you know who I think the luckiest guy, not the luckiest, but the guy looking forward to this offseason more than anybody is Teddy Bridgewater.
He is going to be in hot demand.
Because the Redskins are going to want him, I'm assuming. The Giants would, if they draft a quarterback and dump Eli, would want a guy like that. I mean,
there's plenty of teams that need a quarterback. And
the Saints let him go, or maybe the Saints make him a deal that keeps him. So I don't know. The Redskins, it is what it is. That's a tough one because they were playing well and then literally their leg got snapped, or Alex, their seasons, whatever. I was making up some joke there, but their season snapped like Alex Smith's leg. There we go. Anyways.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll go to the Cowboys next. We killed the Amari Cooper trade and through 2 weeks. And you know what pisses me off is everybody was, and not everybody, but people were talking about how good Prescott was and that Thanksgiving. I mean, it was all Amari Cooper. Dak Prescott still sucks. I will go to my grave screaming that. But Cooper was great. Like, I want to pick it apart, and I still think giving up a first-round pick for him was probably stupid, but he has made that offense way more dynamic.
No doubt. I mean, it's looking good so far. The best thing that could happen to this team is the Cowboys win this division at, you know, let's say 9-7, 10-6. They extend Jason Garrett for 5 years. They extend Dak Prescott for 5 years.
Oh, that'd be beautiful.
This team falls apart for the next decade.
Playing the long game. That's the ideal scenario at this point.
I mean, let's be real. The Cowboys are not beating the Saints this Thursday or in the playoffs. They're not beating the Rams this Thursday or in the playoffs. They may beat – who am I forgetting here? They're not beating the Vikings or the Bears. Maybe they give those two teams a game. But they're not even on the level of the division leaders elsewhere.
Whoever wins this division has a chance to win a wild card game and nothing more. And that's just because you're hosting it and you'd be hosting – I mean, right now the Redskins are the sixth wild card seed. I mean, the Cowboys obviously just beat them at home. So you never know how that's going to shake out. But to your first point – you're not beating the Rams. No, I don't think anybody's beaten the Saints with as good as they've played.
No, I mean, and you look at the wild card picture, you know, we'll get to it a little bit later, but there's this, the Cowboys just don't stack up to some of these teams, in my opinion. So, no. And the same can be said for the Eagles. We touched on it. You know, this team.
They're just they're not the same. And I mean, no. They got – if the Giants would have just had a good second-half game plan, they would be jumping off the roofs in Philly. But because this division is as bad as it is, and they play the Redskins this week and the Cowboys next week, and those two teams are not very good, you know, Eagles fans, and rightfully so, are talking themselves into, well, hey, we just got to win two, and then we're on top of the division, and it's not that far-fetched.
No, I mean, I could see it happening. I mean, clearly, I think the did the Eagles and Cowboys play the last game of the year?
No, it's Redskins and Eagles.
Oh, so I could see it coming down to the last week 17 there, who wins. But again, neither of these teams are going anywhere, Cowboys or Eagles. You know, I will say there was one point in the game where Wentz took a sack, and he wasn't scrambling or anything. He was just in the pocket, and his leg was extended, and the Giant guy just fell on his knee, and it was his bum leg too. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking in my head, that's it for him. And he got up and he limped and he was fine, but it just sort of reminded me, like, the guy's not healthy, you know, he's taking shots still. In a lot of ways, as a Philly fan, you gotta sort of hope that Wentz just sort of makes it through the end of this year and can get back to his form, because he's obviously not the same guy he was last year.
So when you look at the schedules for the three teams, Redskins, Cowboys, and Eagles, this is where, as a Redskins fan, I'm like, okay, we still got a shot, because the Redskins play the Eagles twice. So we'll start with the Eagles schedule, actually. They play the Redskins on Monday Night Football. I would say edge to the Eagles, but not by much. Then the Eagles go to Dallas and play the Cowboys, as we just, you know, mentioned. So that's really their shot, is those 2 weeks. But then, even if they win those two, they go to Los Angeles to play the Rams, and then they're at home to the Texans before finishing in DC. So that's a real tough stretch for Philadelphia. So you go to the Cowboys, they play the Saints at home, which I feel like there's one game every year as an NFC East watcher where I'm like, this is an automatic loss. And I say that about the Saints and Cowboys this week. If the Cowboys win this game, this division is on ice. Like, they'll be done.
Right.
But you assume they'll lose to the Saints. You know, who knows, against the Eagles. Then they play the Colts in Indianapolis, which all of a sudden that looks like a damn tough game.
Right.
They do end with the Bucks and Giants. So, you know, the next 3 weeks for them are pretty critical. So Redskins have Philadelphia. Then they play the Giants, who are playing better, but is still, I mean, if you want to make the playoffs, that's a game you should probably win at home. Then they play the Jaguars, who stink. Then they play the Titans, who, I guess it just depends on the week, whether you get the good Titans or bad Titans. And then they have the Eagles at home. So I would say, if you're looking just primarily at the schedules, I give the edge to the Redskins. But I don't know. I think it's just going to be, it's just going to flip-flop. I think a week from right now, I think the Cowboys lose to the Saints. Sadly, I think the Eagles probably find a way to beat the Redskins, and we got all three teams sitting at 6-6, and who the hell knows, maybe the Giants beat the Bears and they're only a game out.
I mean, that would be something. If the Giants somehow find themselves a game out at the end of this weekend, it would be incredible. I mean, yeah, looking at the Eagles' schedule, two games against the Redskins, a game against the Cowboys, the Rams, and the Texans. I haven't watched that team up close on Sunday. I don't see them winning. You know, I don't see them beating the Rams. I don't see them beating the Texans. So, whatever. You know, and the funny thing is, Saints-Cowboys, it does always seem like the Cowboys pull off that one win that no one expects them to win every year.
It's either them or the Eagles. There's always one that I have circled. I'm like, how the hell did they win that game?
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't
I think the Saints are kind of a cut above probably some of those other teams.
The Saints are playing out of this world. So we shall see. I mean, what do you think the division winner is? 8-8? By process of elimination with the amount of games left, I don't know if that's realistic mathematically, but I mean, it's not going to be an 11-win team, I'll tell you that much.
No. So they're all six. Well, the Cowboys and Skins are 6-5. I think one of them finds a way to 9-7, but I don't think it's any more than that. I don't see the Cowboys losing just one more game. I think they'll lose to the Saints and probably the Colts in Indianapolis with the way they're playing and maybe win the other three. I think that's best-case scenario, and that gets them to 9-7. I mean, with the Skins schedule, I'd like to say they can make a run at 10-6, but I just, with all the injuries, I don't see it. And there's no way the Eagles with the Rams and Texans and the Cowboys and the Redskins twice. I think they have the hardest schedule out of anybody. So I think best case scenario, if we're talking just the NFC East looking good, it's the Cowboys at 9-7, hosting probably the Seahawks or Vikings in the first round, and that should hopefully be a loss. Oh, man. All right, so let's just take a look at where we're at playoff-wise right now. In the AFC, you got the Patriots and Chiefs. Chiefs first, Patriots second. Then you got the Ravens, Texans, Chargers, Steelers as the opening round games, with the Texans and Steelers being the ones that would host. I look at who's in the hunt in the AFC. I think the Colts are the only realistic team. I mean, the Dolphins, Bengals, Broncos are kind of your next tier, but
yeah, they suck. Yeah, I mean, let's see. Yeah, I mean, could one of these teams get on a run? No. I see the Colts, the Titans maybe. God, this, you know, this AFC playoff is sort of a Baltimore, LA, Pittsburgh. Well, Pittsburgh's all right, but I mean, they got routed.
I don't know. The Chargers, I think, are the sneaky, really, really good team that nobody's talking about.
Yeah, I could see the Chargers doing some damage, but I don't think they're as good as – maybe they could beat New England, although Rivers and the Chargers in general have that bugaboo with New England. They just can't beat them in the playoffs. But the Chargers are not better than the Chiefs, but that's a division team, so I don't know. I think there's going to be some dogs. Let's say this is the this doesn't change much in the next few weeks. There's going to be some dogs in the early round, but – the around games in the NFC could be.
Yeah. All right. So that's where our technical glitch, and I can't hear anything you said. but going over the NFC, Saints and Rams, clearly a cut above. You know, the Bears at this point, they're 8-3. I don't know that anybody catches them in the NFC North.
I wouldn't sleep on that Bears team, too, knocking one of those Saints-Rams teams out. You know, I mean, it doesn't seem like they're at that level, but that is a hellacious defense. And what's the best way to beat a good offense is a great defense, right?
Seriously. And then, so the Vikings, I mean, I would be shocked if they don't make the playoffs. I don't think they'll catch the Bears, but they'll be the one wild card. And then the other wild card, you got the Redskins currently sit as the wild card leader, and then Seahawks, Panthers, and Eagles right behind them. Out of that group, the Seahawks are the only team that I really think are any good.
I agree with that. I was laughing because I don't know if you saw, I think it was, I don't know, somebody I read online today said the Vikings Packers game was losers leave down match, and that's true. I mean, the Packers are nothing. I could see the Panthers. They're so, Cam Newton and that team is just so up and down, you never know.
Yeah, and they play the Saints twice still on the rest of the season. So, I mean, I think they'll probably fall. It's funny you mentioned the Packers and the losers leaves town. We're going to do our locks. When we come to the Stank Rankings, though, I have a question I think you would never in a million years have thought was a serious question. That's how hold the listener until the end.
Yeah, I think the Seahawks. Oh, let me just quickly. I want to see what their schedule is through the rest of the year.
I'm pretty sure they played the Rams twice already.
I was going to say, if they don't have any more Rams games, that could get them in. So they play the 49ers. They do have the Vikings, but they host 49ers twice. They have to play the Chiefs and then the Cardinals. So
that's at least three wins. So at worst, they're finishing 9-7. I would imagine.
So they're going to have. They're going to have a shot to get in for sure. And you know what? That's another team. Like, if Russell Wilson gets in, you know, who knows? That guy's just like the magic man. So
yeah, and I kind of think they're a lock, because we just kind of said that the NFC East, the best you're going to get is a 9-7 team. That means there's probably not another 9-7 team. And if the Seahawks win three, obviously that would get there. I expect the Panthers to kind of fall, and there's no one else that's really dangerous.
Yeah, so I think the Seahawks are sort of sitting pretty on the outside lane here, looking to make a move. So,
all right, lock time, which should be just run the other way, because I don't think I've hit a lock since like week 8. But it's been a long time. So I think I'm just going to take as many points as I can get somewhere that's not Oakland.
I like the Rams -9 against Detroit, or -10, depending where you choose to make your wagers. I like LA -9 on the road to just sort of stuff it on the Detroit Lions.
Well, I just said I was going to take points, and now I don't think I'm going to. I think I'm going to take the Steelers -3.5 at home at the Chargers, because people just like to look at what they saw lately. Pittsburgh laid an egg. Really, the last 2 weeks, they got lucky in Jacksonville. They just barely, and then they lost to the Broncos. Chargers have been just steamrolling, and they went down 10 quick to the Cardinals and then railed off 45 points. I'm going to take the Steelers. I think they're trying to trap you there. That's what I've said the last few weeks, and they haven't been trying to do that. So, all right.
It's a big game, no doubt.
Take a quick break. We'll get to that question in the Stink Rankings. On the other side, it's the Tailgates of Hell.
You're listening to the Tailgates of Hell, the NFC East podcast for the common man. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes or Google Play.
All right, we're back for the Stank Rankings and this mysterious question we all need to hear. So, Jason, number 28, go for it.
All right, so Mike McCarthy's getting fired. Like, there's no two ways around it.
Correct.
Would you have ever thought this is a legitimate question going into this offseason if you're a hotshot offensive coordinator who's about to become a head coach? What's the more attractive position, Green Bay or Cleveland?
Ooh. I mean, it's Cleveland. There's no doubt about it.
There's like in a million years would you ever thought that was like a legitimate question? But I mean, there's a lot of factors at play. Really, when you're in Green Bay, it's Super Bowl or bust. You know, if you get the Browns to 7 wins, you'll probably be a national hero. But with the way that team's built, I think it's a better spot.
No doubt. I mean, listen, if someone asked me today, you could start a franchise with Rodgers or Mayfield.
Yeah, let's be serious.
I'm taking Rodgers, but like, you think about it for a minute with Mayfield, right? I mean, he's 10 years younger. Great, like, similar player in a lot of ways. So I don't know. But I agree. I mean, I think it's Cleveland. I don't know if you saw that the players in Cleveland were just talking so much shit to Hugh Jackson, like tossing him the game ball and all sorts of stuff. Baker Mayfield let him have it. So look at this. Our little Cleveland Browns off the Stank Rankings, and now they're
sticking around. All right, so they are off this week. I'll start with number 28. They've been a staple on here. They're not out of the NFC East discussion, but you got to leave the Giants on here. If for nothing else, that second half play calling.
I mean, they're not a good football team. The defense is really bad right now. The head coach is bad. The play calling was terrible. The offense is playing okay. But they're 3-8, so they stank.
All right, number 29, and this sneaky might be the worst team on this list, or at least the one in kind of the worst spot right now. They're 5-6, but the Cincinnati Bengals, woof. they were getting blowed out by the Browns.
They got debacled. I think there is talk that Marvin Lewis is pitching Hugh Jackson as his replacement next year, which would be the most Cincinnati thing to ever happen.
Fail upwards. No one's done it better than Hugh Jackson. That'd be hilarious.
Number 30.
Number 30, San Francisco 49ers, and I can't even remember what they did last week. I know they lost.
Did they play?
Yeah, they lost to the Bucs. So if you're losing the Bucs, you're doing something wrong. They're 2-9. I mean, they were. I've said it before. I picked two teams that I thought were overrated to start the season. One was the 49ers, and they have not disappointed me. The other was the Rams, and couldn't have been more wrong about that. So,
hey, one for two. That ain't bad. Yeah, 49ers stank. You know, the question to me is, how long does, like, John Lynch and Shanahan, you know, get? Does the Garoppolo injury buy him cover? But that team stunk with Garoppolo, too. So we'll see. We'll see how this all plays out for the 49ers here over the next season or two. Across the bay at number 31.
Number 31, the Oakland Raiders. So just, I mean, that discussion right there, it brings up kind of an interesting thing. So the teams with the worst records right now are the 49ers and Raiders. So if they have the number one pick, what do they do? Especially the 49ers. I don't think John Gruden gives a shit anymore. I think he'd replace Carr in a heartbeat if he could. But, you know, you just spent all that money on Garoppolo. Get into an interesting bidding war.
I think if Oakland or San Francisco, more so San Francisco, gets number one, they will very happily trade back into the top 10 for more picks, as they should. I mean, and even, you know, even the Raiders, Gruden does not want a rookie. I mean, he's notorious QB killer. Whether he keeps Carr or not, I don't know, but I think he wants a veteran, another Teddy Bridgewater potentially landing spot there. Yeah, so they stink. I think either of them are number one pick. They may trade back to a team like the Broncos or the Giants, who really want a quarterback, or the Redskins.
Right. All right, last but not least, for the first time this year, maybe on a stink rankings, definitely the first time, bringing up the Caboose. They were mere minutes away from the Super Bowl last year. How fast have the Jacksonville Jaguars fallen? Firing coaches in week 13, benching their quarterback in week 13. Ooh,
they
London's
are
looking better and better.
0-7 since Eric Flowers joined that team. That's all I'm going to say.
All right, so that'll do us for another week. We'll be back with week 14 next week. For Ben David, Jason Giacconi, it's the Tailgates of Hell podcast, NFC East podcast for the common man.
For all the latest NFC East news and opinions, check out tailgatesofhell.com or follow on Twitter at tailgatesofhell.